Folks, this is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com.
Do you remember the days when Dynamite Kid could walk? Me too. Relive those fun memories at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletheroMax and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a special episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea, and tonight in studio, joining us, filling in for the Chopster last minute. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
And who are you?
Well, I'm the Mega Powers.
That's
and
right.
We're live!
That's right, Hammer, we're live. Rant EM Radio, rantentertainmentmedia.com is the place. As always, part of the Shining Wizards Network. It is Friday. It is, what is it, January the, what day is it, the 12th? The 12th.
11th.
The 11th? No, the 11th was yesterday?
I don't remember.
Let me check my phone. Make
oh,
sure.
It's the 12th. It's the 12th.
Yeah, because yeah, I'm losing track of days, man.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. So I was just telling Dave how work's been. And he's doing the same.
What was that, like the fake Asian music you had playing for
That was
me?
The Great Mood is WCW music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I should have worn my silk robe before I came.
No, you're in your garb, dude.
Yeah.
My man is tight. He's got the New Japan swag. He's got the official, like, Young Boy jacket he's rocking. and his Joe Doering shirt.
Yeah, the Joe Doering fuck cancer shirt where he's lariating a like brain tumor out of some guy's head.
Dave is fresh off his trip from the land of the rising sun. Before we get started, let's give our get well wishes to our buddy Chopsta. He's got the flu and the squirts.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, he's a mess. He's a mess. And Choppy's a tough dude, man. He won't take medicine. I called, his wife called me today.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yo, how's he feeling? Oh, you know, he's this, that. So tell him to get some Imodium, you know? Because that'll, you know, clog him up for good, you know?
Flush him out?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, go get some Imodium. He's like, no, I don't take that. I'm like, oh, man, he's one of those guys. All right, well, listen, get better. Get you back next week. We had a throwback plan, but we're not doing it.
Get some clean underwear.
Yeah, get some clean underwear. The poor guy. Yeah, the flu is going around, apparently.
Yeah, I had the flu.
You had the flu.
Yeah.
I get the flu shot. And I get, and normally, only geriatrics are supposed to be getting it. Because I'm a healthcare professional. I work in a hospital. If you don't get it, you got to wear a fucking mask everywhere you go. Like in Japan.
Yeah.
So, and I was just having a text exchange with Mike Norenganger from the Midnight Jury. My Skype, I'm having a Skype issue. I'm going to address this during the week when I have some time next week. I was going to open the Skype up and try to call Choppy and bust his balls and then have Mike on. And Mike ironically texted me to see if he can call in, but I'm having a Skype issue. So just to remind everybody, tomorrow night the Midnight Jury comes to the Rant. 8 o'clock, I believe, is the start time. If you don't know about the Midnight Jury, please do your homework. They've been friends of ours, and they've been peers of ours since I started the podcast. I've been a fan since episode one. Mike, Adam, Sydney, Cal, good bunch of people, and it's fantastic. Pop culture, 80s and 90s shit, wrestling. They don't do a lot of wrestling anymore, but they come correct. They come correct. And so I'm happy they're here. They're going to be doing like one live show a month on The Rant. So tomorrow is their big debut. So please tune in. I will be here hopefully tomorrow night. I'm going to try to call in. But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, technology does blow, AA. AA's texting me. He had a meltdown. Yeah. I felt bad on Tuesday. I was actually home on Tuesday. I wanted to help him. And he was texting me. As he was texting me, I fell asleep. I wasn't used to being home that early in the day, you know. Hello everybody in the chat room, whoever's listening. Mega Powers will have the chat room tonight. I have the big screen facing him. So, anyway, have you been, my friend?
I've been doing pretty damn good.
Yeah, you have been.
Until I came back.
We've been living like vicariously through you, my friend.
Yeah,
we've been like, it's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy living vicariously through you and Mr. Domingo, as he was there with you for a little while, but you were there a little longer than he was.
Yep.
You were there basically almost a month.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
20-something days, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think it was like 18 full days. Well, left on the 21st, came back on the 9th.
I forgot that you weren't going to be here for the Christmas show, that you always here for the Christmas show.
Yeah.
And you missed a good show, man. We had a blast at Tony's house. Matt came and it was great.
Mm.
So let me give you a Christmas present. I didn't wrap it because... Whatever.
Yeah, no worries. I've been wanting to see this.
Have you?
Yeah.
Good. It's
the Rise and Fall of the Clash.
Yes.
I like this one because it's got all the dirt.
It does have the dirt.
The Clash.
Yes.
And it finally acknowledged the other Clash, the second Clash, that nobody really likes.
That's like the Cro-Mags. There's like seven different versions of the Cro-Mags.
Yeah.
You know, like the Harley started his own, John Joseph started his own. It's like it's a clusterfuck. You know, I hate when bands do that, you know. A lot of bands in the 70s did that. They broke up and they're like like Steve Perry did his thing and played with other people from Journey, and It got real hairy.
Yeah, they got the Filipino guy who's pretty damn good.
He sounds just like him, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy talk.
Steve Perry, he can't really, like, sing like he used to, right?
Yeah. No.
So, that's when you gotta call in the Filipino guy, I guess.
Basically. And they found him, like, on accident, too.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's start.
I got some gifts.
Oh, you got some gifts. All right.
I'm gonna start off with Choppy's gift.
Choppy's gift? Okay.
Since he's not here, it's in the All Japan bag.
I'll keep it in the bag for him.
Since with his condition and all, I'm sure he's probably got like a nice rank going on.
Oh yeah, yeah. His stank is on the low, of course.
So I got him IWGP cologne.
King of King cologne. That's awesome.
So not only can he look like a champ, he can smell like a champ.
He can smell like a champion. Wow, that gets an okay terrific, yeah. Man.
Okay, terrific.
There you go.
That's awesome.
I will definitely give
this to the Chopsta. I'm going to try to see him tomorrow, actually, when I'm done with my with helping out our buddy Will with his moving tomorrow.
All right, and some stuff for you and for Mikey. I got a Liger keychain.
That is fantastic. Wow.
For you, the hype man.
Oh, Gato, yes! That's awesome! Awesome, thank you so much, dude.
Let's see what else we got in here.
You got the official bag in the whole...
This is, like, Bullet Club tape?
Bullet Club tape.
Yeah, they gave this for free, so...
I'll let Mikey put this on his wrestling ring.
And, me and Rob couldn't get into New Year's Dash...
Yeah,
so there was a guy outside handing out New Japan stickers.
Yo, that's official. That is official right there. I know where this is going. That's fantastic. Oh man, right. I'm stoked. Thank you so much.
The All Japan Pro Wrestling towel.
Whoa, dude, you're spoiling me. This is fantastic.
Yeah. We got an issue of Pro Wrestling Weekly with. Alpha and Omega on the cover.
Wow. Yeah, this is the thing that... This is the one that you get here, right? The one you get...
Yeah.
I usually get them here. You usually get them here.
Yeah.
Is that Adrian Street down there? It looks like Adrian Street in a mask.
No, it's some chick.
Some chick, right? That's fantastic. We're going to talk about Omega and the Alpha in a little while because they were on Jericho's podcast.
I don't know what this is. I think it's a bunch of... Some stuff that we got from going to Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice.
Free little swag bag.
Oh, they gave out some swag?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. All right. Little posters and whatnot.
Yep.
That's dope. We'll hang these up when the man cave is finished.
And I have a assigned Tajiri folder.
What?
Yes.
The buzz saw?
The Japanese buzz saw.
Whoa! Where? And Tajiri is currently where? In
All Japan.
In All Japan?
Yeah, he's their junior heavyweight champion.
No shit!
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Also got a autographed Ultimo Dragon.
No. 8x10.
And since at these shows, they're constantly giving you flyers. So I gave you a bunch of flyers from all the different shows that I went to.
Wow, dude. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Dude, you're spoiling me over here.
And last but not least.
What I asked for. Thank you.
The Wrestle Kingdom program.
The coup de grace. This is what I wanted. Since I'll probably never be there anytime soon, I really wanted a pro. I'm a program guy. Like, I have all the WrestleMania programs I've been to, and I have a lot. I have a bunch of them from, like, the Raws and SmackDowns I've been to. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not a big program guy, but I bought some at the shows that I went to over in Japan.
The cover has Naito and Okada.
It's a giant program, too.
Yeah, this is the size of the program we used to have at Ozfest, also. And when all the bands, they would have that. Yeah, that's fantastic. Dude, thank you so much, man.
And you get an All Japan bag, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Mikey's going to shit himself when he gets home. He was a little upset he wasn't going to be here. Because I told him yesterday you were coming. And I was like, dude, he's like, oh, can I just come home? I'm like, no, yeah, stay with your dad. It's your dad's weekend.
No, you stay with your dad.
I said, Dave will be back soon. Dave will be back for the Rumble. Don't worry about it. All right, so let's get into it, man. I want to hear. I mean, we all lived vicariously, like I said, through you and Rob for the trip. Mm-hmm. You were there for, like you said, 23 days. You said
18 days. Yeah.
So I want to know and go. I want to. You've been to crazy promotions. You saw some Joshi shit, All Japan, New Japan.
Yep.
Did you see DDT?
I saw some, like, promotions that, I guess, like, they're, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, like, subdivisions from DDT, but I didn't see DDT itself.
Okay, what about Noah?
Noah, we had to skip Noah because the first night that me and my friend Mike came in, and first off, thanks to Mike, without Mike, wouldn't be able to do this fancy trip.
Shout out to Mike.
But the 22nd we came in, and which was Noah was that night, and that was the Great Kabuki's retirement match.
Yo, when you posted that, bro, I almost lost my mind.
Yeah, well, I almost lost my mind when I found out that we weren't going to be able to make the show. Because our flight was coming in around 5, and I think we got, like, delayed, so I think the flight didn't come in until 6, and it was going to take a while for us to get back to the, to get to the hotel, period.
Right.
And, so we already kind of knew coming in that, we were going to, you know, we were going to be missing the show, and knowing myself... For the entire flight, first of all, we had to fly into Canada, so then we could fly into Tokyo. So it wasn't a direct flight. We had to have a layover.
Was it supposed to be a direct flight?
No.
Okay, so you knew you were going to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to Western Canada?
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto. Okay, that's like an hour away.
Yeah, so it was about an hour away. We spent about an hour there.
An hour layover, yeah. And
then like 16 hours on the flight.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So I did not sleep the entire flight.
I have a hard time sleeping on planes, too.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't get comfortable.
It was Air Canada, and the seats were god-awful.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. I flew them once, and I was, like, disappointed.
But. Yeah. I even took a sleeping pill, and I was wide awake the entire flight.
No, I've done the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, basically, I listened to the Austin Idol podcast.
Yo. That must have been fun.
It was. It was great. But you know, once we got off the flight, I'm still wide awake. And it's like, we still got to get to the hotel.
And what time did you land? Like 5 in the morning?
No. Like, we landed around sometime around like 6 to 8 in the evening.
Right.
And from there, it was kind of like, okay, how do we get to the hotel? So we had to figure out the trains, how to get there. And once we got down to the area... First thing I see is, like, every friggin' hotel is a love hotel. So I'm like, shit.
Explain to the audience what that means. And like, was it like a... They have theme hotels there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody goes to... I guess for us, it's just going to a motel.
Like a motel for booty, like for booty call.
Yeah, for booty call.
Gotcha.
For what's the other term? For casual encounter. So there was a lot of casual encounters going on in my part of town, but we get off the train and it's like every like gaudy looking hotel you can imagine.
Sure.
Like in that area, and
so you landed in Tokyo.
Yeah, we landed in Tokyo. The ward that me and my friends stayed in was called Taito. So we were in Taito. It's, you know, I guess the best way to describe Tokyo is kind of like Los Angeles. Los Angeles is huge, and there's like all these like little towns that are inside this one city.
It's basically like Manhattan. You have Washington Heights. You have, you know, Murray Hill. You have Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah,
I guess same concept. Yeah. I guess. I mean every.
Well, these are all like different like zip codes and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, same thing in the city. Like you know, we have. Like in the five boroughs, we have like there's different neighborhoods, but I mean, they're neighborhoods basically.
Yeah,
right.
So it's just one gigantic city, and it has like all these like little towns, you know, inside of them. So we stayed in Taito, and I scouted out the area beforehand on Google Maps just so we can, you know, have an easy, you know, walk over to the hotel.
Right.
And, of course, Google Maps, like, for each street was, like, unknown street. Make a left on unknown road. So, I'm all right. Like, okay, I'm probably going to have to pull up Google Maps again.
Yeah.
And try to find this place. So,
right.
So, we walk through all the love hotels. And there's one normal hotel at the end of the street.
Okay.
So, it's like, this has got to be us. And it is. So we go in and we basically just kind of crash for the night, and the next day we're off to the races.
Yeah. So now you had your whole trip like in term like mapped out of all the shows you wanted to go to and the days and the dates, and you didn't just randomly say, like, obviously you knew when Wrestle Kingdom was, but
yeah.
All the other stuff was like, okay, I'm going to this day, this, that day. So you had an idea of what you were doing.
Yeah, there was just, like, very seldom did we, you know, do last-minute shows. Usually that kind of stuff was, there was one promotion called Triple Six, and that was kind of like a maybe for some people. But, like, once the show is coming up, it's kind of like, oh, let's just go to Triple Six. We got the evening free. You know, we're not going to do anything. So there's, like, a group of five of us, and, like, three of us, you know, decided to go to that show. So that was kind of, like, one of the few, like, random shows that were, like, we're just going to go to this one because we know it's...
The Triple Six one?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was so special about this promotion?
Triple Six, for me at least, it's something that I just, like, saw on YouTube, like, years ago.
Right.
And, when we were planning out the trip, there's a website, I forgot what it's called, I'll find it and, post it on, I'll post it on the Facebook page so everybody can check it out if they decide to, you know, do one of these trips. And, but for me, one of the selling points for Triple Six, I don't know if anybody remembers her, but there was a teenage girl by the name of, I think at that time she was going under the name President Rom. And this was like a, kind of like a gothed out chick. She had to be like, I don't know, like 10, 13 at the time. And she was like this possessed, you know, like little like girl who was also a wrestler for this promotion. And I think, I want to say she did some stuff with Muda in Triple Six, because a lot of these wrestlers kind of...
For 0-1, you mean?
Oh, no. For 0-1? No.
Muda does 0-1, doesn't he?
No, he's in Wrestle 1.
Wrestle 1, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. 0-1 was Steve Corino, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So I just remembered, like, her, and apparently she returned to wrestling, like a year ago or so.
Uh-huh.
So all of us were kind of, like, hoping that she was going to be on the show, and she was, and I got a photo with her.
Nice.
At the end, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, it's a Triple Six is more of just kind of like a, I guess the best way to describe it is kind of like a comedy fed. There's...
Chikara-ish?
Less wrestling than Chikara.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So there's wrestling, there may be like one serious match on the card, but for the most part, it's just kind of ridiculous shit. And
is it Kaiju Big Battle shit? Or, no, it's not as ridiculous as that.
No, there's it's I don't know how to describe it other than it's just very Japanesey. Like there's a lot of like I guess for Westerners going to some of these shows, it's like confusing as hell because there's a lot of talking and
no one knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Nobody knows what they're talking about. Right. It's kind of like you just gotta you know. Put your thinking cap on and figure out what's going on.
Gotcha.
Some of it's going to be clear as day. Some of it's going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And just kind of sit there and nod your head. And when cool stuff happens, start clapping.
Clapping, that's it, yeah.
But that one, that's because, what was it, actually the first show that we went to was for a Joshi promotion called Ice Ribbon. And I had known about Ice Ribbon for some time now. And when I met my friend Mike at the New York Asian Film Festival, I guess he was going to see like an anime or something that we were showing. And I saw him with an Ice Ribbon shirt. So I was like, oh, nice shirt. And then, you know, that kind of sparked our friendship because it's kind of like nobody knows what the fuck Ice Ribbon is.
Right.
except for people like me.
Yeah, exactly.
So so turned out he was a big fan. He, you know, once we became friends, you know, he shared a lot of like the DVDs and stuff with me, especially the dojo shows. So over the past year plus, I got well acquainted with Ice Ribbon and their dojo shows, how they operate. It's usually just like a 1 hour thing. You go there, there's like a small amount of tickets. The place is super tiny. Sometimes when you walk in, I know that there was like one Ice Ribbon dojo show where we walked in and the wrestlers were training in the ring, like some of the rookies.
While you were filing in.
Yeah, while we're filing in.
Yeah.
So they got like the gimmick tables and stuff like that, and each ticket is numbered depending on what they're doing for the day. You know, say you have number one, you know, obviously, you might get to choose what seat you want. If sometimes,
general admission,
yes. Yeah. Well, they'll either do like the like go by number. So like if you're number one, you get to go in first. If you're number two, you come in second, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I know sometimes like they switch it up and they do. They do by like groups or whoever comes first. So sometimes it could be a grab bag. I think like for the first day that I was there, I think they were doing some sort of like a, I don't want to say a raffle, but maybe by groups or something like that. So if you had a certain number, like you were in a certain group, you know, say like from 1 to 10, you know, you would get your pick of a certain area of the dojo. So we lucked out. We got like seats, you know, by ringside. So my bug is probably on those DVDs of those shows.
Yeah.
So which that's is cool. Cool. Yeah, so that's very, you know, cool. after watching all these DVDs, you know, now, you know, getting a good idea of what Ice Ribbon is all about and like what the wrestlers are about and remembering their names, because that's, you know, some of these promotions I've seen you know, only so many times, and I don't remember everybody's name. So sure, it sure. happens.
But the wrestling was good.
Oh, hell yeah.
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 So one cool thing about Ice Ribbon is, like, once the show is over with, whoever's wrestling that day, they go around the ring, they shake everybody's hands.
Nice.
You know, and for people like me who stand out, they might even remember you from the next show. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And but one thing that I noticed immediately, right off the bat, especially the women, they're making a fucking killing over there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like a group like Ice Ribbon. Very talented women. Very beautiful women. And they got the old dudes coming in there, giving all the gifts, buying shit continuously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you have a slightly new 8x10 where your like hand is slightly moved upward?
Aww.
Let me buy that one. I'll get that. So there's like, and and also too, it's like even for some of the rookies who like they have like 5 matches. If it's a hot chick, she's got a huge line. So most people are making a killing.
Is any of this stuff televised?
Stuff like the dojo shows are not going to be televised.
But the regular shows are?
But yeah, like if it's going to be, if it's like, you know, say, like Ice Ribbon had like their big event, Ribbon Mania.
So it's like,
So that's probably going to be on cable.
So, I mean, so they have notoriety.
Yeah.
Like their circuit, it's like almost like with us with the indies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Evolve and,
yeah,
you know.
Only difference is a lot of those promotions are going to get TV time. They may not have a weekly show, but if they have like a big event at Corkin or something like that, it's going to air on, it's going to air on cable. Unlike, you know, if Evolve comes to town, they have their own iPay-per-view or something like that.
Correct,
know?
Correct.
Or, but you know, if, some, schlub, indie, you know, down the street, you know, in Jersey, they're not going to get no TV time.
Nice.
But I noticed like for a lot of these promotions, I guess you could consider them like an indie promotion or something like that. But like I mentioned, you know, unlike what we have here, a good chunk of them are going to have TV time. And another thing, these venues are so clean.
Yeah, like, I can imagine.
Was it one of the guys that was with us? He's a promoter over in Seattle, and I remember one of the things he said to me is like, once you start going to these shows, you're not going to want to go to like another indie in America. And he was right, because my God, like some of these like arenas were so immaculate. They were clean.
Yeah.
It wasn't like going to the Rawway Rec Center for some shit promotion.
Or the old ECW arena.
Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, I guess you can consider Corkin Hall kind of like an ECW arena.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, no. It's like, you know, ECW wishes they were on the level of Corkin. It's actually like a legit arena.
Yeah, I mean, but there's the difference between them and the States, though, I think, is like there's kind of like, I don't know, it's like CBGB's. Like,
yeah.
You go into CBGB's, you're not using the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, I had to a few times.
Oh, no. Fuck that. I played CBGB's, I wouldn't use the bathroom.
There was one night there, I forgot what band was playing, like, like, it just hit me in the stomach. I was like, man. Oh, God, no, not here. Not of all places, no.
Oh, God.
So, you know, in the men's room at Seabees, as you know, there's one toilet.
Yes.
And there's no stall around it.
No.
It's like, it's on a, like a fucking platform. I don't know why. It's like, I guess, like, because if you actually do take a shit in there in front of everyone, like, you deserve, like, some sort of attention or a round of applause.
You know, the next time I get to meet Vinny Stigma again, I want to ask him why that is. Because Vinny's, like, an aficionado of, he lived down a block from there, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to ask him. But, all right. So, but, yeah, I understand.
Wait, I'm not done.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm done with my bathroom story from Steve.
Oh, no, go ahead, finish it, go ahead.
So, like, there's no way in hell I'm going into that men's toilet, so... I make the beeline to the women's room, and I just go right in. I gotta go.
Fuck that.
And there was one chick who was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What does it look like I'm fucking doing?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Have you seen the men's room? Like, like the door, like there's no door. There's no door to the men's room. And there's a toilet on a platform.
Right.
You think I'm gonna go take a shit in front of everyone? No.
Fuck that.
Is this your first time here?
You're brave, dude.
Yeah.
You're brave.
And no diseases, thank God.
Thank God.
But yeah, there's
so these places are pristine.
These places are pretty pristine. I think like the quote-unquote like dirtiest one that I went to is probably Shinjuku Face, which actually looked like a rock club.
Yeah.
And it was the only place that there was like a one drink minimum. So I had to buy like a drink ticket.
Like a comedy club?
Yeah, like this is Jerry Seinfeld is going to come.
I mean, hey, why do I watch these Japs and buy a drink? Oh,
so,
man.
So yeah, that was the dirtiest one. And it wasn't like that dirty at all. Like, only thing that was like really like fucking disgusting that I found from some of these places was. There'd be like a smoker's room, like there was one like there was like for instance like in Corican, like there was like a glass encased room where the smokers went into to smoke, and I called it the Black Lung Lounge.
Yeah, that happens in here in the States. They have nursing homes with glass rooms, so the people used to go in there and smoke. When smoking was like legal indoors, you'd walk into these nursing homes and there'd be a fucking room to the side, all glass. With these geriatrics, and there's a big cloud of smoke.
Yeah, you could kind of, like, see somebody, like, moving around in there from all the smokes. Like, shit, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
And even in Shinjuku Face, there was a tiny little glass room. And, depending on, like, what venue or even, like, restaurants, too, they had them. It's just kind of... I remember going into a Mos Burger while I was waiting for to go into a Gato Move show. And... it was just like a telephone booth for smokers, and just like one person goes in there and just, you know, lights up, like, wow.
Like a porta potty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, smoking scene is alive and well.
In Japan, yeah. Of course. Nobody vapes, right?
I want to say that I saw maybe one person there doing that. I could be wrong, but for the most part, if people want to smoke, they smoke.
Yeah, it's cool. It is what it is.
Yeah.
There's only 40 million people that live there at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's all right.
Yeah.
So, you did that. So, move me along. Where'd you go next?
Pull up the tickets. Was it the first two shows? Was Ice Ribbon, Dojo, then 666? All right, what was after that?
I know some of the fellas from the classic Japanese wrestling page were there.
Okay, the next show I went to was another Ice Ribbon show. Actually, I got to like start counting. How many Ice Ribbon shows did I go to?
So, were these the venues that you couldn't take, you weren't allowed to take pictures? Or you posted something that you couldn't take pictures?
Yeah, Ice Ribbon Dojo, I couldn't take pictures. They actually do have one... I don't know how often they do it, but they'll have like one show called Shutter Ribbon, which is where people can, you know, bring cameras and you know, take photos and stuff like that. But for like the super tiny places, specifically the Ice Ribbon Dojo and Gato Move, they ask people not to take photos until Gato Move. You can take photos after the show is done. Like they'll do like a closing dance number and like a roundtable talk. which we can't like understand. And,
of course not.
Yeah. And then you know, during like the round table, and you know, people can start taking photos and
okay.
stuff like that.
All right.
But I can understand for I think you know also for the dojo, it's kind of like a like an intimate scene. So, and they also produce the DVDs there, so they don't want people taking photos and video and shit like that.
Understood.
Yeah. And almost a kind of similar thing for Gato Move, because that was the one where it was just a tiny room with a big mat that the wrestlers just wrestled on this mat. And
A lot of FMW cards had that stuff, and yeah. Wing did that too.
Yeah, and there was like two big windows where they had like chairs by the windows so people can sit down and you can stand behind people, and
that's cool.
Watch what's going on. That was kind of like their top rope.
Yeah.
Sometimes they threw people out of the window. Sometimes I was sitting in a chair by the window and they're about to throw somebody out the friggin' window, so I had to run.
Yeah.
So it was pretty wild. So let me see. The next show was Ice Ribbon at KFC Hall. And had nothing to do with the chicken.
Okay, I was about to ask that.
I'm still trying to figure out what KFC means over there, at least for the hall. But that one was another one that was like it's like inside of like a large building, like on the fourth floor or something like that, and it's just kind of like this beautiful immaculate hall.
Yeah,
where they have wrestling.
Okay,
and it's just kind of like, why can't I just like. See wrestling like this, you know.
And now, now you're getting spoiled. You're a couple of days in.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you're getting spoiled.
Yeah, now I'm not ever going to see Eddie at WrestlePro or whatever. Then again, I'm not a fan of WrestlePro, so
you're right.
I don't ever be on with.
Right.
So after the KFC Hall show, it was Stardom Year-End Climax at Cork and Hall. So this was my first Cork and Hall show, and it's like my third day in to the trip.
Now, for those who don't know, Corrigan Hall, like Dave and I said, is basically, and we've mentioned this on the show, you and I mentioned this on the show before, it's the basically the ECW arena of Japan.
But better.
Yeah. I mean, ECW did shows there.
Yeah.
And Dave all said that it was, like, even they said it was better than the arena, you know?
Yeah, and the thing about Corrigan Hall is they also do boxing and MMA there, so it's like strictly for combat
sports.
It's
a sports venue, yeah. It's combat sports.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there may be some singing and dancing there, I don't know, but for the most part.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? But when you, you know, when I did the video of like how to get to Corrigan Hall, which was interesting because this was my first night there and I was going to the show alone. So everyone else were going to different shows that night. So they gave me instructions on how to get there. It was like 17 minutes away from the hotel. It was really easy to get to. Two different trains. You literally, like, as soon as you get out of the Tsutobashi train station on the west exit, you literally walk across a bridge, you walk straight, pass a Denny's, and you're there.
So now, the train, it's similar to the MTA, correct?
Yeah.
But
nicer and cleaner.
Obviously nicer.
Yeah.
But they're faster.
Yeah. Trains run every 5 minutes. So, like, if you're running up the stairs and the train is, like, heading out, like, there's going to be another one there in 5 minutes.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast, and there's this guy, Jason. He's a city councilman. He was in a famous hardcore band called Indecision, and he's now the city council person for, like, Bush, Bay Ridge, Bensonhurst, like South Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the infrastructure of the MTA and how different it was from other countries, how they'll, like, Japan put out, they were late, like, they were 3 minutes late one time for a train, and it was like a catastrophe. Like, the government officials sent out, like, a letter, they put it in, like, all the local newspapers and the media, like, we're sorry we're being 3 minutes late.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that here? Like,
yeah.
Waiting fucking 20 minutes for an 8 minute train. This happens to me.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's my life story, you know? So I could just imagine the madness during like rush hour there and shit with these trains, you know? And how expensive is it train ride there?
Like, it goes by distance. So.
Oh, like the Long Island Railroad and New Jersey Transit.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, like, if, like, you know, I got something there called a Suica card. Basically, it's kind of like a Metro card. You know, you put your money on there, and you go to the thing, you tap it, and it basically kind of like acknowledges that, like, hey, you started your trip. So then, like, once you get off the train at whatever your destination
you
is,
you tap it again,
and then you get charged for however far you went.
Okay.
So was it like at the end of the trip? You know, from the hotel to Narita Airport, it was like $10.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's not terrible.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So this was the train to Corkin. was a pretty quick ride for me to get in there. For the Stardom show, which was interesting, was I reserved my ticket through one of the wrestlers. So unlike here, where, you know, say you might, you know, meet, I don't know, like Dingus McGee is in the main event or something like that, and he's selling tickets to his friends and family.
Dingus McGee.
And you want a ticket, you're probably going to buy it directly from Dingus or something like that. That's probably like the equivalent here. But with this, one of the wrestlers, Chris Wolf, on the show, I basically went to her website. There's like a section on there where you can request tickets. You know, I just wrote to her, tell her, you know, I want bleachers, you know, in this section. And she gets back to me. She's like, okay, you got it. You know, they're going to be waiting for you once you get there. So basically, I just go to the table, look confused at the person at the table, and just say, Chris Wolf, David Powers. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they
get my thing. You're on the list.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
You're on the list.
So I get my ticket. I pay for it there. The thing with Corkin is, like, for the most part, they'll normally have people, like, do gimmicks, like, in the hallway, but there's, like, this room that you can go through. I guess, like, if there's going to be, like, if there's not going to be enough room in the hallway.
That's a Ring of Honor and, like, WrestlePro. Do they, yeah. they have a room.
Yeah. So, again, finding out how much cash these people were raking in.
Yeah, of course.
They open up that fucking room.
Of course.
And it's like a madhouse. Like at first, I think for this show it wasn't so bad, but I think towards the end of the show it was pretty bad, because I got told from some of the guys, like, there's going to be some times where you go through either that room or that hallway, and it's going to be like a madhouse. Like, you're not going to be able to get through. You're going to have to, like, push people to get through.
It's like a club, like a concert.
Yeah, like a concert.
Okay,
but it's just the hallway, and you're trying to get through. So. So what's it called, for this show, it was fucking awesome. It was the retirement show for one of the wrestlers, Yoko Beto, and actually it was her second time retiring, and my first time seeing a retirement, you know, at you know, live. Because for the women, you know, they don't tend to have very long careers, you know.
No, they don't.
Like, if they get married or something like that, they're done,
right?
So this was her second retirement, and man, this chick had a elaborate, you know, send off.
Okay.
And you know, for was it one of the shows that we did in the past, we talked about Chigusa Nagayo. She was there. This was awesome. Like, she popped up, and like the whole crowd's like, like when she walks out, you know. So yeah, it was like, whoa. And well, the big names that popped up was Kairi Sane from WWE, because she was originally from Stardom.
Stardom, right.
So she came out, and she got, like, a nice pop. So so it was cool to see her, you know, live and in person.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
For her promotion. So so they were bringing out all the stops. It was a great show. Star-studded lineup. Actually, one of the wrestlers I wanted to see was on the show, Meiko Satomura. She's from Sendai Girls. Actually, was it the Sendai Girls? Was it? It was maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was like 2 years ago. They won the King of Trios. It was Meiko Satomura, Cassandra Miyagi, and someone else. I don't remember the other name.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
When the girls won the King of Trios.
So once the show's over, you know, I go to check the gimmicks.
Uh-oh.
And there's basically like two girls who have like insane lines. One is Yoko Beto, and one is Io Shirai. Io Shirai was actually being considered for NXT before Kairi Sane. Mm-hmm. Basically, Kairi Sane was like in her shadow in Stardom. This basically, you know, the second best, and Io is always, you know, just all the way at the top. And but obviously, due to all the neck injuries and other injuries, Io Shirai has WWE passed on her. She was damaged goods.
Nice.
So basically, that's kind of how Kairi Sane, Kairi Hojo, you know, got her...
Got her spot. Yeah.
You know, in WWE.
Right.
So once I saw that line for Io Shirai, and I wanted to get one of my smut magazines that she's in signed by her.
Smut magazines?
It's a magazine called Weekly Playboy, and she was in one of the issues. She was naked, but they didn't show her kibbles and bits. So it was kind of like a tasteful nude.
And this is normal. This is normal place. These magazines.
Yeah.
Like you can go into like a Barnes and Noble over there.
Oh yeah. You can go in there, and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
It's basically kind of like an issue of Playboy, but it's like a Japanese Playboy.
And just women's wrestling.
No, it's just for women in general.
But oh, she was happened in that to be issue. In it. That's cool.
So I was going to get that signed by her, but I saw, like, the friggin' line, and I'm like, I'm going to miss my train if I'm on this line.
Right, yeah.
And, they opened up the room again for them, and it was, like, Yoko Bito and Io Shirai, like, it's basically their room. And everyone else was, like, this, like, one very long, you know, like, table almost pushed, like, to the wall. Like, it was like, you know, like a little space, and you know, the fans could walk along against the wall to, you know, get photos and autographs with the other wrestlers and stuff like that. So yeah. So it was kind of interesting, and it was kind of how I first found out how I guess territorial is kind of a way to put it, you know, like if it's kind of like sports, like if you're a fan of, you know, Giants, Vikings, whatever, you know, it's, you know, fans just tend to be fans of that team. You know, nobody else.
Like Chikara.
Yeah.
Like, we met people that were on at Chikara that just go to Chikara shows. They don't like anything else.
And, you know, the Japanese fans over there tend to be kind of...
Cliquish.
Yeah, cliquish. You know, right. if they're a Stardom fan, they just go to Stardom. Maybe if they go to another promotion, it's because somebody from Stardom is on there, you know?
Right.
So, I noticed immediately, you know, if the person wasn't a Stardom wrestler, and weren't going to have much of a line. Or another thing too, foreigners. Was it Rachel Ellering was on that card? And who else was? Tony Storm is their champion. She's, you know, from the UK. Mm-hmm. All these people did not have lines. They were just standing around. It's very you could tell, well, these people have their national pride and wear it on their sleeve.
Of course,
because a lot of I was like, wow, you know, Toni Storm is their champion and she has no line.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, if you're a slightly hot chick on the roster, you have a huge line. So, and I was like looking through, you know, I wanted to see who's like got stuff on the table, and like all the way almost like towards the end of I guess like the schlub row, because if you weren't Io Shirai or Yoko Bito, you didn't have, you know, you didn't have like a gigantic ass line coming out like three rooms.
Correct.
So you know, Mako Satomura is like all the way at the end, and I'm like, she doesn't have a line. She's a fucking legend and she doesn't have a line. And I go up to her, I'm like, you're Mako Satomura. She's like, yes.
Now, how is their English? Is it good?
Oh, horrible.
Right?
They don't speak English.
Not at all. But they understand?
They understand, like, some things. Like, okay. You know, like, I had to put what little Japanese I remember, you know, to work for me. So, you know, just basically doing what I can.
So your Japanese is like my high school Spanish?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, they're trying to do their best with what little English that they have.
Right, right.
So, so I'm trying to talk to Mako Satomura, and I'm like, you know, how much is a photo? She's like, free. And I'm like, it's just boggling my mind. And I'm like, I wanted to tell her, like, you're a goddamn legend. You shouldn't be free.
You should be charging people.
Yeah, you should be charging people. So
fucking American capitalist
Yeah.
pig that you are.
But, you know, I learned, like, some of these people, like, if they come out, like a Meiko Satomura, and she's not, like, this ain't her promotion, usually they don't even come out for gimmicks, and if they do, they ain't out there for too long. So, right. So I lucked out, you know, I got a photo with her, and I wanted to give her money, so I bought an 8x10. Actually, I wanted to say, I kind of felt like the 8x10 was free, and when I gave her the money, she was all, like, shocked. I'm like, take the money, you're a legend.
Yeah.
So,
look at you putting her over. Good for you.
Yes, yes.
Good for you.
So, and I let her know I was going to the Sendai Girls show on the 6th. So, she was happy about that. And I actually saw her at another show. I forgot which one, but, you know, we just kind of like locked eyes and just, you know, waved hi. So it's just kind of like cool when people.
Oh, you fucking stand out, dude.
Yeah, I'm a white guy.
Yeah, you're American.
Yeah.
So
it was cool, you know, some of these people, you know, recognize you from different shows and stuff like that. So, you know, I can't say that's like the norm. I'm sure there's plenty of guys that go to shows and, you know, it's like, well, hey, whatever, guy, you know, keep moving along.
Yeah. That's not bad. You want to take a quick break and then we'll come back? And
yeah, let's take a break.
All right. So Dave's giving me the lowdown on his trip. Very, very excited. Back from the motherland, as we call it now.
Yes.
Mario from the Barrio's in the room. How are you?
Mario from the Barrio.
Shaylin, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, big Tank passed away today. Much love to his family right now. So.
Yeah, our condolences.
Our condolences, yeah. He was pretty sick, too. He was actually sick while Tank was sick as well.
So yeah, yeah, I remember that.
It's been a big deal. So he's at ease now, thank God. So. All right, yeah. Let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Mega Powers is in studio with us, giving us a lowdown on his trip. I am dying to hear about the rest of it. I want to hear about the Pizza Hut.
We got to talk about that.
I want to hear some old Japan. I want to hear New Japan. And I just want to hear Dave's experience because, like I said, we all lived through him and him and Rob. And when we get Rob in studio, he'll give us his. Because I know Rob did some different things too outside of what Dave was doing. So we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on a rant. Right back and keep it locked.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk. And talk about wrestling.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumbfuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. Your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Still blows my mind that they're a thing.
Very much a thing.
Yeah, they yeah. Did you see the thing they did with Rob Halford a couple months ago?
Yeah, was that some like
they did the it's a the eight the
Krang show or
the
something
the APMAs or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, they did some with Rob Halford.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Dope, baby metal. All right, we're back. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com is the place. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Philly Ray in the studio with my main man, my brother from another mother, David Mega Powers.
Yo.
The original co-host, if you will.
Yeah.
The social media guru of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
I was going to post something today, but I was just... I had to rewatch Wrestle Kingdom, and we'll get to Wrestle Kingdom soon.
Yes, we will.
And I'm like, God damn, this thing's 6 hours.
You know...
I started watching it around, like, 7, and I didn't finish until around, like, 2.
I got up... I had to be in work at 8 a.m. that morning.
Yeah.
So I was going to, and I couldn't sleep. So I just laid in bed and I had the laptop next to me. And I rolled over at like 2:30 and I started watching the New Japan, the Battle Royal, the that they do every year. The Rumble, which was terrible this year, actually.
Hmm.
But it is what it is. And then I kept like dozing off and I woke up to Cody. And then I fell asleep again. And I woke up, got dressed, ran out, got on the bus. And I was streaming on the bus. I have a new phone plan, so I have like an unlimited data.
Yeah.
So I was streaming a New Japan app on the phone. I was watching Omega and Jericho on the way during the snowstorm on the way
nice.
In. Yeah.
Nice.
So I shut my social media off. I didn't want to know nothing.
Yeah.
So I stopped the match, shut everything down again. I wasn't even on Facebook. You guys posted pictures. You guys both of you in front of the dome. That was fantastic. I opened that night. Me and Mikey were playing with social media. I'm like, look, dude. Look at that. They're in front of the dome. So, all right. So, let's get into it. All right. So, Stardom, you did. You did Triple Six.
Yeah.
You did Ice Ribbon.
Yeah. I won't go into to detail for every single show, but I'll go over...
just breeze through.
Yeah. It was in December. Went to Marvelous. That's Chigusa Nagayo's promotion. So, I'm trying to think. Was that... Actually, for that show... That was the first time that I got to see my favorite Joshi wrestler, Sakura Hirota.
When did we do Nagayo and Dump? That was the second year you were here or the first year?
Either first or second.
The first year, yeah. Go back, listen. That was a good episode. Dave and I enjoyed Dave. Dave sent me the clip. I'll never forget this. I'm like, this is fantastic. I was totally beside myself.
That's probably my favorite wrestling match ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird. Coming just, from you, that's very weird. Yeah. Not, I shouldn't say weird. It's I'm surprised because you're like us. You're a connoisseur.
Yeah,
you know your shit. You know, hence why you're here. Hence why we're family. I think it's that particular match though is your favorite of all time.
Yeah,
and it tells a really good story if you know the characters, I guess. But,
yeah.
And I'm not even into women's wrestling, but that was a great match.
It's as over the top as you can get.
Absolutely,
for wrestling.
It's
pure pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
So on Christmas Day, you know, I go to Marvelous, and as I was just mentioning, that was the first of 6 shows that I got to see my favorite Joshi wrestler, Sakura Hirota, who's actually a comedy wrestler, and
she's like a Yano.
Kind of like a Yano in a way. But she doesn't win. She just like doesn't get any wins whatsoever.
Oh no.
No. And one of the things that sticks out for me is first of all this she's pure comedy, but the woman can work. And despite being like a comedy wrestler, as much as I love comedy, like I used to be a big like Chikara fan. I used to be a big DDT guy.
Yep, I remember.
But then after at some point, it's just kind of like, all right, it's...
It runs its course.
Yeah, it runs its course. Yeah,
the gimmick runs its course. The wrestling, the wrestling is always there. The gimmicks run its course.
Well, for DDT, there's not that much wrestling. And for Chikara, it was basically, I just kind of kept seeing the same guys wrestle each other all the time. So
yeah, and then they shut down and they're back, and it's like, it's not a totally different product now.
Yeah. You know? And I'm not a big fan of their storylines. It's too comic book-esque, and I'm not a big comic book guy. So,
this is true.
So they lost me with that. And but with Sakura Hirota, she's like such like a... In my opinion, she's like a perfect, you know, comedy wrestler because like her shtick doesn't get old. She'll do some of the same stuff over and over again, and it's like just as fresh as it was the first time around. And
because she does it so good,
yeah, because she does it so good because she can work, and because she can work, she can you know, do the comedy shtick and have some wrestling in there, and also just kind of like, you know, purposely screw things up.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, since she knows what she's doing, there's like a good, you know, flow to everything that she does. And,
gotcha.
And she's like a perfect example of like, she could be talking and talking during an entire match. Have no idea what the hell she's saying, but it's still funny. It still captures your attention. And for her match on Christmas Day, it was her and... another comedy wrestler, a rookie named Mickey Tanaka, and they were dressed up. Tanaka was dressed up as a snowman, and Hirota was dressed up as a Christmas tree, and they had like their face painted up.
You posted that, yeah. You posted that,
yeah. And they were going against Waves champion Oka, and I forgot the name of the other person, but but it was just like this ridiculous match where. Just Hirota and Tanaka are just trying to weasel their way out of the match and stuff. And there was even Hirota had like twins recently, so which he brings to the shows too.
Wow.
And what was it? There was like a diaper spot because she got a gift of diapers from her opponent during the match.
Oh no! I can only
and,
imagine.
And for some reason they're fighting over the bag of diapers. And of course, it explodes in the ring. And their opponents put the diapers on their head, and they can't, you know, see. And there's even one point where Miki Tanaka's back in the corner, and she still has the diaper over her head, and Hirota's, like, slapping her, like, why do you have the diaper over your head? You're in the corner. Take it off.
That's funny.
So just ridiculous, like, spots like that. There was even, I forgot what show it was, but Hirota was going against, like, this, I guess kind of like a demon wrestler or something like that named Iger. And she stole one of her babies after
no
the match.
Shit.
It was just hilarious stuff like that. And let me see what was next. Was this on Christmas Day? No, it was. We had some days off, so the next day was the 28th. I went to Pro Wrestling Basara, which is like another subdivision of DDT.
What did you do on the day off? Anything? Just hung out?
Met up with friends. Just
yeah. I saw the one chick that we had from the birthday party was there, right?
Yeah,
from last year.
Yeah, Layla. She
Layla,
was there.
Yeah.
Met some other friends that live in Japan too. So just kind of
touch base with everybody.
Yeah, just touching base with people and people who I haven't seen like 5 years or so. So
yeah, you've been haven't been in a minute.
Yeah.
So now, before you get into any more wrestling, I just want to the cuisine.
Yes.
Now you, since I've known you, are very, very. You try to be health conscious.
Yeah.
You pig out on big occasions with us, but you tend to not eat all the crap unless you know, competitive eating.
Yes.
Or hanging out with us during the
Tuesdays are over.
During the Big Four. Yeah. You're retired. I know. But the cuisine there is very, very different.
Yes.
From the Japanese food you get here in the States.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a regular fucking bento box. And, you know, you're not getting, it's different sushi, it's different meats, different chickens, different fish. They do a lot of fast food there, I know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy over there, right?
Yep.
So, did you indulge? I mean, you're on vacation. So
oh, yeah, of course I indulged.
Okay, so...
Like, when the hell am I going to eat some of this stuff ever again?
Well, I know you, and you're a very, very health-conscious guy.
I think so. I was clean for maybe about a week.
Yeah?
And then it was just kind of like, all right.
Because I know you're like, I'm not going to eat any of this shit. And you get there, and you're like, fuck it.
Yeah. like, I don't know what this is, but I'm not going to have a chance until whenever it comes out.
New that you tried, or anything that you want? What are some of your staples over there besides?
Well, of course, the highlight was Pizza Hut.
Now, why was it the highlight? Did you get you got Pizza Hut here in the States. What's the difference?
Well, they have, like, the sausage crust, and, like, there's, like, different kinds of seafood that they're putting on the pizza.
That's crazy.
And they have, like, two pizzas that I got there. Like, the two ones that I got there, it's, like, four different pizzas in one. So, it's, like, two slices are one kind, and the other two slices are a different pie.
Right.
It's like a Franken pizza, in a way.
Okay.
So, I'm like, of course I'm having this.
Nice.
But my God, it was like a medium was like the size of like almost like a personal pie, and a large was like the size of a medium.
Oh,
and like the pizza was fucking expensive as hell. It's kind of like,
oh, they're not big people.
Well, it's kind of like going to a Domino's or a Pizza Hut, and you make the mistake of ordering a pizza without like getting one of their coupons. So, like, a plain pie can end up being, like, $20.
Instead of getting, like, the two mediums for $15 or whatever. We did Papa John's. We used to get Papa John's. We lived on Decker.
It's like, I'm just going to get one pie from there. And it's like, but, like, you don't use any of their coupons. And, like, like a single pie with no toppings.
50,000
like,
yen.
Yeah, it's like $30. Like. But over there, I don't know if they had any coupons. I didn't use any, but I was just kind of, actually, For New Year's Day, we went to Asakusa, which isn't too far away from Taito. That's where that big red lantern is and the shrine and stuff like that.
Night Shaylin, thank you.
Good night, Shaylin. And what's it called? I don't know, just one day I just started to walk around town and I ended up in Asakusa by mistake. So I was like, all right, and while I was walking there or when I walked back, I saw Pizza Hut, and I'm like,
oh no,
I wonder what they got. So I was looked at the menu. I'm like, okay, keep this in mind. And then I think maybe like a day later,
it's weird. Like you don't just you go for a hot dog in Japan. It's not just a hot dog. It's a fucking hot dog with squid on it.
Yeah.
Like I know I watched some Japanese baseball.
Yeah.
And the cuisine there is fucking crazy. In the stands, they have crazy shit they're eating.
Well, listen, when I was at the Dome, one of the hot dogs that they were offering was honey and cream cheese.
I see? Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
And it was good.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think of that shit here, man.
But what was it? Before the Dome show, like, one of the guys is like, they have, like, a egg salad hot dog there. You gotta get it. It's great.
That's gross.
According to him, it was good.
I don't like egg salad.
So, but that wasn't on the menu, or unless they were sold out of them before it got
there.
That's
crazy. I'm sorry. So get into. So you had a couple of days off, and then you went to.
So then we're back at it.
Back at it.
Back at it at Corkin for Wrestling Basara. That was kind of like a on the whim kind of show. We didn't have anything going on that day. We knew that there was a show going on there, and they were doing a tournament that started off with the first round and the qualifying matches. What's it called? No ropes, and the way to advance in the tournament, first round, pin, submission, or elimination. You knock them out of the ring,
like sumo style.
However, you knock them
off the circle, right?
Yeah, okay. So you knock them out of the ring, and the second round was basically they add the ropes back on, and it's the same rules. And the finals is just a match.
Oh.
So, and it was intergender, so there was, like, guys, like, Colt Cabana was part of it, Hamada from TNA, if you remember her.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course.
Yep. Who else? Hideki Suzuki from 0-1, he was there.
So 0-1's still a thing?
Yeah, 0-1's still a thing.
Okay.
So like, an intergender tournament, it actually went really well because I thought it was going to be too much comedy or too hardcore or what, and no, it was perfectly balanced. Like, there was a nice amount of comedy, real wrestling.
Now Colt does Noah like, he's known for going for Noah tours, so I'm...
I think now he mainly does DDT. DDT, I don't know. I don't think he's part of Noah right now.
He was for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time he went there, he did Noah. He mentioned it on his podcast.
Yeah. And,
you know.
Speaking of him, I think it was either that day or I forgot which day in particular, but we went to Cork and to get tickets to, you know, for the bulk of the shows.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a DDT show earlier in the day. Because, like, all those guys are, you know, like, in the gimmick room.
Hanging out.
Yeah, they're coming out, and we're just standing there while our two friends are getting the tickets for us, and, like, Colt Cabana comes up to us. He's like, look at the filthy, stinking Gaijin. And I'm nice. Like, and I said to him, like, you should talk, you piece of shit.
Yeah, there you go.
So we were off to the races, and he was a cool guy.
He's very cool.
Yeah, he started started bullshitting with us, and he's like, hey, you guys going to any DDT shows? And we're kind of like trying to avoid saying no, because we weren't going to any DDT shows.
Yeah.
We went to Basra, I guess you can call that a DDT show, but and Tokyo Joshi Pro is also a division of DDT, but we weren't going to any straight-up DDT shows. So so we just try to avoid that, and he got the picture. And once we got all our tickets and stuff like that, we started headed to the elevator, and so was Colt Cabana and Chris Hero.
And Chris Hero?
Yeah, so Chris Hero started BSing with us in the elevator.
That's,
you know,
cool.
Asking us where we're from and stuff like that, and he's like, oh, you guys all coming for the dome? And it was just kind of like, not all of us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know a lot of people, like, think the dome is the big thing. It is for the most part.
Yeah,
but for me, it wasn't the big thing. That wasn't...
No, you went for the fucking... For the chicks and...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For all for Japan. I wanted Japan. To... Because I've already seen all those guys in New Japan wrestle, like, several times over.
Of course.
In smaller places, too.
We got a question from the audience.
Yeah.
Shining Wizards Tony.
Oh, God.
Ask Dave how many GFEs he had.
GFEs?
I don't know what GFEs is. I thought you would know.
No.
What is GFE? I'm texting him right now. Okay. Yeah. All right. So.
All right. We'll get back to that.
Yeah. So get a. So keep it moving. So you went after that. You went to.
Let me see. After that, it was Wave. Then Gato Move, which we talked about. Back to the Ice Ribbon Dojo, Ribbon Mania. That was like their WrestleMania. So I take it Tony got back to you.
Yeah, girlfriend experiences.
Girlfriend experience.
Any escorts?
No,
nothing. No, no hookups. No nothing. No booty calls.
No booty calls.
No panties in the dispenser.
There was a panty dispenser by the hotel. Because was it like we walked the same way to the train station, so we had to walk past all these love hotels, and there was like one we called the machines the gotcha machines. You put the coin in there, and it has like that plastic little dispenser
like,
that you pop off and all that.
Right, right.
So we kept seeing this thing, and it's like the dirtiest, grimiest looking one, and there's like a cardboard sign. And, you know, nobody's Japanese is, like, perfect enough to kind of read the sign. So, that was always just kind of like the running thing. It's like...
Gotcha.
One of these days we're going to put $5 in there, because it costs $5.
$5?
Yeah. To
for dirty panties.
They were clean.
They were clean?
Yeah. I didn't get them, but one of the other guys did. So.
Of course he did. Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, but yeah, there was a panty dispenser nearby.
Gross. Gross.
All right. Actually, what was it? When I was walking around, there was like one day where I was just kind of like, oh, let me take one of these, like, alleyways or something, you know, in the area. And like, there's like an information booth. I'm like, huh, that's kind of a strange place to have one. And then I just kind of... I pulled out one of the catalogs, and I was like, oh, okay, I got it. And it was just like all the, like, the different women that you can have like brought to your room and
nice.
Shit like that.
And no one partook in that? None of your crew did?
No.
Yeah.
We're here for the wrestling, man.
I understand, but if you're a single guy, sometimes, you know, it's like a guy going on a business trip, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets the Swank magazine or the Screw newspaper and reads the back of the ads and gets like, you know. So and yeah, it's big over there.
Oh yeah, it, of course.
Escorts are like, you know, yeah. You know, guys just pay chicks to hang, not even sexual sometimes. Just pay to hang out.
Yeah, just hang out.
Just to hang out. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't need to pay.
I'm not saying you need to. I just for shits and giggles. I know guys who've done it. You know, yeah. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm not Nick German, so.
All right, so.
Yeah, I'm not a sick fuck, so.
Allegedly.
And God knows where some of these people have been, so I'm not gonna bother.
Right.
So, anyway, All Japan.
Okay. So, I haven't seen All Japan regularly since the 90s.
Yeah.
So, I'm not even versed in any of it. Yeah. I don't even. It's not even on the radar because it's New Japan is like the new shiny toy in the realm. So
yeah,
I was excited. I didn't even know you were going to an All Japan show. So when I saw you posted that stuff, I was like, I told Mikey, I was like, dude, I said, All Japan was this shit.
Yeah,
All Japan was my introduction to Japanese wrestling.
Yeah,
so Triple Crown, you know, Misawa, Kobashi.
That was like
Stan Hansen.
As far as I'm concerned, like All Japan 1990 and 1993, those are the best years Doc of and wrestling. Gordy. Period.
Yeah, Doc and Gordy, yeah, Bam Bam and Vader, and yeah,
if you want to see the best wrestling, it's All Japan in the 90s.
Yes, and so I know what's that place that we get the stuff from? The Japanese the DVDs and stuff, the downloads, the
I think an IVP.
IVP, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They got all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's fan. You can even download it. You don't have to buy the DVD now. You just download. You pay for the download for like
$3. I don't know if they do that anymore.
$2.99. They're still up there. I mean,
yeah. But I know things have changed because different people trying to get the sites, you know, shut down and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's...
There was one site that I used to use, Ruto Reels, and they're not around anymore.
No, Ruto Reels isn't around anymore. But if, you know, stuff is out there.
Yeah.
And All Japan is the go-to if you want to get into Strong Style, you know.
No, they don't do Strong Style. They do King's Road.
Well, it was Strong Style. It was the original.
Strong Style is New Japan. Well, that's the Inoki style.
So, All Japan, how is it now? What's the vibe when you're in there? Is it hot?
It's kind of like what I alluded to before. It's kind of like you have people that will, you know, go to one promotion and just stick with that. And this crowd is very much an All Japan crowd.
Like, they won't go to the Dome show and all that.
They might, but I'm going to take a wild guess and say, you know, some of them are not going to,
right,
you know, go to the Dome. It was interesting because, on January 1st, on New Year's Eve, DDT and Big Japan have a co-presentation called Toshikoshi.
So Big Japan's still around?
Yeah, it's still around.
That's they still do the death matches and stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That I want to see.
Yeah. On New Year's Eve they have a co-promotion. I think there may be some other promotions that go with them too. It's called Toshikoshi. It's like a random, like almost kind of like a battle bowl in a way, like a tag tournament.
Nice.
So, and it goes for like 5 hours. Oh, like boy. When it's like New Year's, when it's like the countdown is going on, they do the count, like they just stop the middle of the match and they do the countdown. And
like they do in a bar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and everybody's like drunk and wasted and stuff like that. I badly wanted to go to that, but that was when Rob was coming in. And our friend Layla, she wanted to do something on New Year's Eve, so I hung out with them.
Okay.
But
so now Rob is with you at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the other guys are at Toshikoshi, and we all say to one another, like, there's a show that is at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-oh.
On January
New Year's
1st.
Day. You want to
New
make
Year's
it.
Day.
Wow.
And
8 o'clock in the morning? People go to that 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And what's it called? Previous years, those guys never made it to that show. So they were like, we're going. And I'm like, I'm going too. So.
Yeah?
So I think 4 out of the 5 of us make it to the show.
Yo.
And.
Rob went with you?
No.
No.
Rob only wanted to do New Japan, so Rob, okay. Rob only went to the Dome, and that was it.
Okay.
So, so the rest of us, we go to the show. We all only had an hour's worth of sleep. And this was like a promotion called YMZ from this Joshi wrestler, Yoneyama, comedy wrestler. And it was interesting because we're all beat up, we're all tired. And some of these shows, like especially like the smaller ones, are like, oh, who's here for the first time? And then they look at us. And the referee like says in English, where are you guys from? And the other guys do not want to answer. They could give two shits. So I'm just sitting there and I say, New York. And then they're like, oh, and everyone in the building starts like
of
clapping
course.
For us. I'm like,
we're fucking royalty over there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You don't tell them you're from Jersey, they'll fucking throw you out of the building.
Yeah. Plus some of them I don't even know if they even know what New Jersey is, so so, for the most part, if anybody asks me where I'm from, I just say New York.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah. Hey, I know how to work the gimmicks.
No shit.
So, at the end of this show, there's a couple that comes up to us, and they can't speak a fucking lick of English, so but they want to talk to us badly.
Of course.
So, they find out, you know, we're somehow able to communicate that I was going to the All Japan shows. Then I find out, like, this is, like, an All Japan family.
Oh, and they're just there for the experience, for the...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there was any... I don't remember offhand if there were any All Japan people that were on that show. But they knew... But, they, you know, I was able to convey to them that I was going to All Japan the next day. So, they actually were sitting not too far away from me. So... For the next 2 days, because it was a double shot. It was on the second and the third. On the third is my
birthday. Yes.
So
the All Japan show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I go to both shows, and they were fucking awesome.
Right.
Because one of the reasons why I didn't really do too many men's promotions is because a lot of them aren't all that great right now. Like, I haven't really heard too many great things about Noah.
I don't know anything about Noah. All I know is that certain guys just tore there and that's it. That's all I know.
Yeah. Eddie Edwards is a champion right now.
Yes, that I know.
But I haven't really heard anything stellar coming out of there. Haven't heard anything interesting coming out of Wrestle 1 or 0-1.
I didn't even know Mood was still doing his thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know 0-1 was still a thing.
0-1 is still a thing.
Yeah, last time I saw it, like, Carino was the champion. That was, like, a decade ago.
It was, like, forever ago.
Yeah. So last time I saw a 0-1 match, someone gave me a tape. It was a VHS tape. That's how long ago it was.
So so I was amped for All Japan because I heard great things were going on. I've watched some matches here and there, and the stuff that I've seen over the years was really good, specifically Joe Doering. So I was like, I need to see this guy live.
Yeah, he's a talent.
Yeah.
He's quite the... Quite the throwback. He fits right into our
scheme. He's basically the reincarnation of Stan Hansen.
Right, that's exactly who he is.
And he's currently the Triple Crown champion. The guy beat brain cancer like a few years ago.
Yep.
Like, he was on the shelf. Some of the kind folks at the Classic Japanese Wrestling Board were able to raise some money for this dude
for
his operation.
Yeah.
So so the guy's back.
Well, they raised money for somebody else though, didn't they?
Yeah, Takayama.
They gave the money to Suzuki. I saw the picture of that.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I heard they
raised like $7,000.
Yeah, I heard they raised more money than some wrestling promotions.
Yeah.
So I contributed to that. Actually, there's like when you're at some of these shows, a lot of them had like a donation box for Takayama. So
that's cool.
So if you didn't donate through them, you could do it at some of these shows.
Yeah, Takayama was a big deal over there.
Yeah. So so All Japan was insane. This is for strong style, that's like a combination of like MMA with, you know, pro wrestling, a lot of striking and stuff like that.
Yep.
King's Road is the All Japan style, and the best way that I can describe that is what we used to call the Dave Powers slab of beef, tougher than a $2 steak.
Correct.
Kind of match.
Correct.
Where it's just a lot of just beating the shit out of your opponent and a lot
it's
of suplex.
Ultra stiff.
Yeah, ultra stiff. A lot of suplexes, a lot of dropping people on their heads. Just a lot of, like, it's just, like, two beefy guys just wrestling each other.
Yeah.
So, the main event for the first All Japan show was Joe Doering defending against a guy named Zeus. Not Zeus.
Wait a minute. There's another guy?
Yeah.
With the same name?
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
Yes.
Really?
And... He's almost just as bad, right? Well, nowadays the guy can wrestle, but I remember when I first saw this guy back in, like, Hustle. Like, this guy had, like, no...
Hustle? That's not around anymore, is it?
No. Hustle's been dead for years.
Okay.
But this guy used to wrestle in Hustle, and this guy was, like, basically just, like, a bodybuilder dude with, like, cornrows. A Japanese guy.
Yeah.
And comes out to shitty rap music, and...
I love you,
and can't wrestle a lick.
So he's still fighting then?
Yeah.
And he fought in a main event?
Yeah, he fought in a main event against Joe Doering.
Against Joe Doering.
And it was fucking awesome.
How long has Joe Doering been the Triple Crown champ?
Probably like the last year or so.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know... he hasn't been back for like two full years.
Because he just came back from cancer. So he won the belt right after he came back then.
Yeah.
So who else is over there that we would know? You said you met Tajiri, right?
Yeah, Tajiri's over there. Ultimo Dragon is wrestling for... he's like freelance, but he's wrestling with All Japan. Who else?
Did you talk to Tajiri? I mean, Tajiri's English is all right.
He's a guy that he knows how to speak, you know, I don't... Maybe not perfect English, but he won't talk to you in English at all.
No?
Like, when I got my photo with him, like... Well, first of all these guys, like... You have to buy something from them to get the photo.
Of course.
Which, like, I'm perfectly fine with just paying for the photo. But some of them are like, hey, can I get a photo? And they're like, you know, gesturing to the other stuff. Like, you got to buy some of this shit if you want the photo.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah.
They got to make a living, too.
So you know, I get the folder signed for Mikey.
Yeah.
And, he puts the belt on my shoulder, the All Japan Junior title.
That's cool. I saw
that. Yeah, I was like, shit. Like, I saw him with the belt, and I saw other guys getting photos with the belt. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, this is a prestigious title.
It is.
Yeah.
It's been around forever.
Yeah. So, hell yeah, I'm taking advantage of that.
Even though
the guy won't speak to me in English, even though he can speak English. But, you know who speaks great English?
No.
Ultimo Dragon.
Well, that makes sense because he's been in the States for a minute, Mexico.
Yeah, so he's been all over the place.
He's been in Mexico City. Mexico City is like the Manhattan of Mexico. Like, yeah. And they speak English there all.
Yeah, he's got to be trilingual too. And
Yeah.
But this guy had a smooth voice.
Oh, like a Barry White type shit?
Yeah, like...
Like he's very baritone? Like, yeah, how's it going? Like,
I'll buy all your 8x10s. Like, what the hell, man?
He's gonna swoon the panties off you. Yeah. The dirty panty machine. All right, so who else is anybody else there that we know? Or anybody else that we should be watching?
You know, some of the legends are still there. Well, the guy that's running All Japan right now is Jun Akiyama, the bald guy.
Akiyama.
So him and I forgot the name of his partner. They lost the tag straps to Swama and I forgot the other guy's name.
So Akiyama's the booker. He's like the Gato of All Japan.
Yeah, he's the big man there. And this Japanese family that was, chatting me up, like they're big Swama fans. So they were giving me like the streamers to throw in the ring when he was coming in.
Yeah, Mikey loves that, man.
Oh, God.
He loves the streamers. We went to Party City. We got him streamers for Ring of Honor. Me and Rob got him like a bag of streamers, and he lost his mind.
Yeah. So it was fucking awesome to see All Japan live.
That must have been, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that family was so nice. Like, they bought me, like, a hat.
Cool.
Stuff like that. I don't wear hats, so I wore the hat just for them.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
So, and they, keeping in contact with them on Twitter, they were, like, sending me, like, photos from the show.
Very cool.
Specifically with photos that, like, I'm in the background.
That's awesome.
Because for that show, I had third row for both shows. So, and I was, like, facing towards the hard cam, so I haven't watched the episode yet, but I'm probably all over it.
Yeah, how were the prices for these tickets, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I think the cheapest was $25 for Gato, and the most expensive was Wrestle Kingdom, that was, like, $120.
Okay.
So, for All Japan, for third row, that was $70. But it depends on the promotion. Like, I had front row for Ribbon Mania, and I think those tickets were $80 for that show.
Okay.
So they weren't cheap.
Right. Okay. I just curious. I know our listeners.
Nick is asking how much was the entire trip. For me, I want to say how much did I spend?
Without room and board and flight, what'd you spend in wrestling tickets? You think?
In tickets. Probably close to a grand.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It sounds like, yeah, because you went to like how many shows you went to?
24
shows.
Yeah.
All right. So you went to 2 days of Old Japan. They were TV tapings.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So,
when's their carnival? When's their big that's their WrestleMania, right? The carnival thing.
That's not until April, I think.
But that's their WrestleMania, right?
That's the carnival? That's their G1.
That's their G1.
Yeah.
When's their WrestleMania?
That was basically like their WrestleMania.
Oh.
January 2nd. Okay. Like their big event. New Year's War is what it's called.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see that. So you were there for that. All right, so maybe I'll try to get that when it comes out.
Yeah.
We'll see who has it. Maybe somebody can download it or something. I want to see it.
Yeah. What's it, the show after that? On the 3rd was another Stardom show, and that was probably my least favorite of the entire trip. Yeah. I don't know. There was just something off that night. It wasn't anything spectacular. I could definitely tell we were getting closer to the dome because there was like 50 like white people at the show.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of for a lot of these shows you probably see maybe, I don't know, like when you get closer to the dome, you know, more white people start showing up.
That's fine. I mean, I guess it's cool.
Yeah.
That there are other people making the schlep out there. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be it's an experience, man. Yeah. You know.
For the most part, the people that you come across are really nice. So.
Yeah. Well, they're wrestling fans. Some of them are creepy, but I don't think we know any like terrible, demeaning wrestling fans. Most of them are creepy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they're nice people. Like, they mean well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's so...
It's just weird. You know?
Well, yeah, it is weird. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think because I guess it depends on your age and your upbringing. Because you and I have been in some really different crowds where we're all like... We all do our thing, too. But it's like, it's not like... And then we're not like fucking royalty, or we're not like anybody better than anybody else. But you could tell the vibe in some of these places, like especially when we go to like NXT or something, or we go to Ring of Honor, it's like
I don't like Ring of Honor fans.
They're too cliquish. I don't think some of these fans don't appreciate the product as much as diehards do, but anyway, that's another story.
So
Stardom, we went to Stardom after that.
So
now we're getting close to the dome.
Actually, before the dome, I went to a show before the dome. They were doing Tokyo Joshi Pro at Corken Hall. So it's like right next to the dome. Yeah.
So you're right back at Corken Hall.
So we do that show. That was friggin' awesome. But it was one of those kind of deals where it's kind of like, once it's over, we gotta head straight to the dome.
Right.
Because, I've never been there. It's basically me, my friend Mike, and Rob. And I just know it's going to be a big ordeal going inside. One of the guys was telling me, like, when you get online, it's going to be a good half hour before you actually get inside. So we had to...
Well, it's like getting into a mech game. You have to wait. Yeah, same thing. You have to wait and get checked and everything.
So I think there was like an hour before the show started. So it was kind of like a quick kind of like, we need to get in.
Yeah.
And they were doing the Rumble, so I wanted to get inside, you know, before the Rumble started.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was good or bad, I want to see it, you know?
Yeah, no, the guy who won it was, like, the guy who beat cancer and all that. And,
yeah, yeah. You know, so. He used the time to get over the whole Takayama fund.
Correct.
You know, so people can donate to that. That was a good thing.
That was a good thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, So as soon as Tokyo Joshi Pro is over with, like, we got to haul ass to the dome. My friend Mike has bad asthma. So usually for these trips, I think, like, on like on a normal basis, like, he'll have to back out of, like, four shows. So at this point, he hadn't backed out at any show.
And now he's winded. But,
yeah, now his lungs are tightening up and stuff like that, so he's got to go back to the hotel. So it's just me and Rob.
So he missed Wrestle Kingdom.
He missed Wrestle Kingdom.
And he paid for a ticket.
And he paid for his ticket.
Ah, it sucks.
Yeah. So we get inside, me and Rob get in there, and it's like, the Rumble starts not too long after we get in, so it's just like perfect timing. But all the real merch is outside, and there's like a huge area for merch, so it's just kind of like, well, whenever the show's over, we can get merch. But inside is just kind of like, you know, programs and hats and shit like that.
Yeah. They said that there were almost 10,000 more people there than there were last year. There were almost 40,000 people, they said. There were like 30,000.
It was, what was it? It was like 32,995, something like that.
Yeah? They said there was almost 40,000 there. There was 30-some thousand last year.
No, there wasn't 40,000
people
there.
No, okay. Well, that's what they said on online, so... Not that I believe everything online. I just that's why you're here tonight. So
It was like I think it was like 32,000. I posted on the
still big. That's big.
You
know, that won't happen in the states anymore unless you're in a stadium.
Yeah, it seats 55,000
now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So at the dome, besides the honey and cream cheese hot dogs, I find another delectable drink there, which we refer to as the Ghetto Oolong Island Iced Teas.
Okay, this is what I want to hear, because this is what I've been hearing about on the interwebs.
And, you know, Corican is known for their lemon sours, which there was a few nights where I was doing well on lemon sours.
Lemon sours, yeah. Yeah, those, like, it's like candy. Those things go back, and like,
oh yeah,
after three of them, you're like, hello.
Yeah. But I'll say this: at the end of there was like one show where I had like three or four of them. At the end of the show, it's like a 3-hour show.
You sobered up.
I was sober.
So. That happens all the time. Yeah. It happens with me all the time. Yeah.
So that was great. The Ghetto Oolong Island Iced Teas was a different story.
Uh oh.
But then again, we had a lot more than three. So
right.
So I just see it on the menu. I'm like, it's actually called an oolong highball. So I'm like, okay, so it's just oolong tea and whiskey. So,
wow.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to get two hot dogs. I'm going to get a lemon sour, and I'm going to get this oolong highball. And I'm bringing them down to my seat, and I'm not going back.
There you go.
And sure enough, I was back a couple more times. Every time a match was over,
you ran and got an oolong.
Yeah. Actually,
it was a long night.
There was like the initial run, and then I came back down, and I was like, "Ooh, what is this?"
Uh-oh.
And then I think like once the event started, I ran back and got four more.
Wow.
Two for Rob, two for me.
Now, what's the price on these things?
Oh, God. Actually, the food and the drinks are so affordable at these places.
Yeah.
It's like $5.50 for the drink.
Okay.
The hot dog, I think, was, like a couple bucks, $2 or $3.
Okay. All right.
So you're not, like, spending, like, $10.
On like, a pretzel.
On a pretzel.
Like we did at at that casino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fucking stale when you get it.
So. Of course. Yeah.
So, so the Rumble is over and we're all drunk.
After the first match,
yeah,
you're drunk.
After the dark match, we're drunk.
The dark match.
So,
well, they air it.
Yeah.
They air it on the Japan World.
But still dark match. It's not part of the event.
Yeah, we know.
So we're pretty toasted and, more of these drinks keep coming. And there's actually like I took a photo of one of the girls. There's like these girls that come around. They got like these giant like I don't know like kind of like a
backpack,
like a backpack and filled with beer.
They had the when I was in Florida, I was at an event and they had orange juice in those bags.
Yeah,
like this is like in the '80s I saw.
Wow.
So they had beer in these. They had beer. That's pretty fucking cool though.
So it's like a Ghostbusters proton pack. With
that's
beer.
So dope though.
And there was a whiskey girl walking around. I said, Hey, come over here.
Ichiban.
Yeah. I know Rob had a little crush on the beer girl, but...
Of course. They're probably fucking cute.
Oh, yeah.
They're, they're like the fucking Jägermeister chicks in the bar. The shot girls. They come. They walk around with the test tubes.
Yeah, so when I saw the whiskey girl, I was like, come over here.
Well, she saw you coming, dude.
Oh, yeah. She only came once.
That's... One trip, she was done. She's like,
so all the ghetto Oolong Island iced teas, like...
Lined up. Like, she's like, yeah, oh, like, yeah, I'm getting this guy.
Yeah. So, actually, yeah, and I got straight whiskey from her. So, there was, like, one point where Rob was coming back with more of these drinks, and I'm like, I can't... I still have a straight whiskey waiting for me.
So dope.
So, we're like, there's, like, some dude from the Czech Republic that's sitting next to me. That we're bullshitting with, and I'm like, "Hey, you want a drink?" So I gave him my drink, and then you know, we just had an awesome time. Like, we were on the floor, had a decent view of the ring, but we still like needed to, still needed to look at the Trons, you know, to see what's going on, especially if guys fall out of the ring and stuff like that.
But so. The venue itself is pretty dope, right?
Yeah, it was actually smaller than I thought, but I've never been to. Like stadiums or domes or anything like that to watch anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to Giant Stadium to see a tiny little Mick Jagger strut of stuff on the stage. Yeah. So I've never done any of that.
I have.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. Like, the only thing that would make me go back to the Tokyo Dome for wrestling...
Is if we go.
If we go and there's more of those ghetto Oolong Island iced teas there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was kind of like you're in these cramped little seats. Luckily, the people around us were really cool, so we were just like bullshitting with them. We were actually in the gaijin section.
I saw that. That's dope, though. Like,
yeah.
It's fantastic, you know. It's
at least
like
we know we could talk to the people around us. So
yeah, like I was in Canada and I was hanging out with a bunch of people from like I think Ohio. You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, cool. Americans are here. This is pretty dope. Yeah. All right. So without break, I mean, we Choppy and I broke down the card. He didn't see it when I saw it, so he had to watch it the next day, like 2 weeks ago. You know, I thought the card was decent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was a little disappointed with the Okada Naito match. I thought it would be better than it was. I'm not saying it wasn't bad, but I've seen better.
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm spoiled because these guys are so fucking good.
Yeah.
If they have an off day, you're like, oh Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Kota Ibushi match with Cody.
Mm-hmm.
That's
probably one of the first Cody Rhodes singles matches I really
that
enjoyed.
You like exactly. Yeah. I also really enjoyed the fucking four-way for the junior heavyweight title.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, and, like, it wasn't just, like, a regular spot fest. All the guys got their moves in.
Yeah.
And everybody played a good, everybody acted well, and they...
Yeah, yeah.
Kushida was on point, Marty Scurll, Takahashi, I mean, Ospreay, I mean, it was a
it wasn't just a clusterfuck.
It wasn't a clusterfuck, no. These guys were,
and
like...
And these guys are fully capable of clusterfucks.
They are, because they're spot monkeys, and it's...
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and I was telling Mikey, I almost like Kushida better as a singles wrestler.
Yeah.
I thought he puts more, I think he puts more effort into the match when he's a singles competitor.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not taking away his stuff with Time Splitters and anything else. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think he's just better.
But they were a hell of a tag team.
They were a hell of a tag
actually
team.
Like them, like, I'm a big Machine Guns fan, but I actually like the Time Splitters more than
better than the Machine Guns?
Yeah.
They're going to start a program with the Briscoes soon, so I'm excited about that. I like the guns as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course the Suzuki Goon stuff was good.
Yeah.
With him and Goto fucking tore it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, and then
hair versus hair.
Hair versus hair, but it was like he had no hair to begin with. But at least he came back out and shaved his head.
But it's like his signature haircut. So
that he had to lose the hair. He was pissed off.
Yeah. So for him to, and I think he's already started like shaving it back the same way.
Jay White was for me is reminding me of just a younger Naito. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to lose high profile matches right now.
Yeah.
And obviously, and now more than ever, now that he's in Chaos. Which was great. I liked how that all played out the next day.
Yeah.
But I liked that match, and I really enjoyed Omega and Jericho.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like was the fucking commentating. They kept telling us that this is not their kind of match. This is not their kind of match. This is not their kind of match. I get it.
Okay, it's not their kind of match.
It's not the kind of match. I get it, Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. I get it. However, Jericho was like 99 Jericho.
Yeah.
He was on point.
Yeah.
To hang with Omega like that. Omega is the second best wrestler in the world, in my opinion. He fucking hung with him, dude. And I was very impressed. And they brawled. There was spots.
Yeah.
He got fucked up with the One Winged Angel. I listened to the podcast today. He had Kenny Omega on. And to book this was a chore.
Mm-hmm.
They had to convince Gato to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They proposed an idea, and Gato was like, huh? And like even with the announcing, like they get Don Callis. Who the fuck is Don Callis? Yeah. Now, Gato is a gimmick guy. So Gato didn't know that was the Jackal. Omega had to tell him it was the Jackal to get that going. But then to get them to book this match, and then for Jericho to sell it for them was a task.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the inner bookings with New Japan. I don't know how they do things, but I got a really good tutorial today on how they do things.
Mm-hmm.
And both guys were super humble, and both guys have mutual respect for each other. They're from the same area, you know, in Winnipeg. So it's like a thing where, you know, Jericho is not only throwing him a bone, but giving, like, not really passing a torch, I feel like, but he was, like, telling people, yo, I could still go.
Yeah.
Like, I can still, and I don't need WWE. Like, he went to them for the blessing. He was like, listen, I'm going to New Japan. I was like, yeah, whatever. But they don't give a shit because, you know what? And I was telling this to Choppy last week, Jericho doesn't have to show up at WrestleMania or the Rumble anymore.
No.
He's more of an attraction now. He won't be involved as he was.
He calls his own shots.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
He's earned it. And for a guy who's pushing 50, I thought the match was fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it as much as everybody else did? Or?
Oh, yeah. That was probably the best match on the card. So,
I think, you know, and when we were kids, Dave Meltzer didn't give 5 stars every year like he's given, you know, 5 stars now.
Yeah.
He gives a New Japan match a 5-star match every fucking year now, the last 3 or 4 years. So that's old hat now.
Yeah, and he's buddies with all those guys. So
yeah, of course,
you know.
Right.
And not that they're going to have bad matches, but he's going to give them,
you know, Meltzer's prints. Still, as much as the dirt sheets and as much as many wrestling sites and they have out now on the internet, Meltzer's still the go-to guy when it comes to any kind of opinion. Fans can say all they want, but he's still the guy that people look to say, hey, I think about that match.
Yeah.
You know? But they're taking huge steps towards being bigger than what they are. And I feel like they you know, with the whole English commentary thing and then the streaming service, and now they're having stuff, and they open up a dojo in Cali, and they're doing stuff in Cali.
Yeah.
A little pissed off they won't come east to listen to Ring of Honor, but what are you going to do?
Hey.
You know, but we're spoiled now. We're spoiled. Yeah. We're exposed to all this, and now I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
So.
You can watch it whenever you want.
Right,
you
know.
You watch it on your computer.
I'm spoiled, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm spoiled. I can tell you that I enjoyed last year's Wrestle Kingdom a little better. I liked the year before was even better than that.
Mm.
But it, and I was telling this to Choppy, I was telling this to the listeners too, that I feel like New Japan is now giving us every year a glimpse of hope for the new year. Like, maybe wrestling will be good this year.
Yeah.
And then by June, like, fucking WWE.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, WWE is always going to be WWE.
Right. But there's always this glimpse of hope. Like, wow, can you imagine if it was just world-class, top-caliber shit across the board? It can never be like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, get over yourselves. But tell me, like, the experience. I know you did a ton of shows, and you've seen New Japan a million times. So now being there, it's like, okay. I guess some of the novelty wore off because you saw all these guys a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But I guess being there, the experience had to be.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It's like, you know, when you're like in the halls, like I'm like running into Colt Cabana again, and he remembers me. So
that's awesome.
And, you know, just there's other wrestlers like in the building watching the event too.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's like the Americans or even, There was one friend I reconnected with. He was with some of the Joshi wrestlers from Ice Ribbon, you know, like one of the Nosebleeds and stuff like that. So
yeah,
so you know, like it's like, you know, everyone is coming out to see this event. You know, regardless of what you think of it, whether it's you think it's the best thing going today, or like, hey, or you're kind of like me, it's like, hey, I've seen these guys a million times. You know, you're going to have a good time regardless.
Right.
Especially if you're having some ghetto Oolong Island Ice Tea. Oolong Island Ice Tea, yeah. So. but yeah, it's, you know, it's quite an experience. It may not be 100,000 people at WrestleMania, but, you know, for me, this is a big deal, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So I'd rather see the Japanese wrestlers where I know I'm going to have some great matches as opposed to and maybe Undertaker might come back and have another shitty match.
For us it was a big deal because not only were you there but you're our crew, you know.
Yeah.
You and Rob are a family, right? You know, you're in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all like uber jealous and vicariously living through you the entire trip. And just knowing that you were there, like even Mikey was like, Mega Powers is there, Rob, like he was like sitting on my bed, like he had the laptop on a tray, and he was like, Friday morning, he was all into it, he stayed home from school because of the weather, he was like, this is the best, like, you know, and like, he gets, you know, they're long cards,
yeah.
So he was like, getting a little antsy towards the end, brought out his new wrestling figures that he got for Christmas, he got Fish and O'Reilly, and he's playing with them, and he was using, what's his face? Kenta. What's Kenta's name in NXT?
Tommy.
He was using him as somebody else, and he was like, he's like, this is Okada, and he's playing with Okada. He's like, you know, the Kenny Omega figure that he has. But, like, we all lived vicariously through you, and it was so much fun to see you guys having that trip, you know, and then Rob posting pictures of his little excursions, too, the food and all the sights and shit. It had to be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new other world over there. They you know, it's crazy over
there.
It's
like a whole different country over there.
Well, it is a whole different country, but it's they definitely do shit a different way, man. It's totally fucking nutty over there from what I hear.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back. We missed you.
I'm not glad I'm back.
No, we miss you. Listen, we got some stuff going on. We're going to NXT next week in 2 weeks.
And that whole thing.
Listen, I just found out. I'm telling everybody now. So if you're in the Barclays Center on the 22nd, look out for me and Mikey. We just got offered tickets on the floor.
Oh,
so someone, well, my wife's friend, gave us tickets.
Nice.
They didn't want to give them to somebody who wouldn't appreciate them.
Yeah.
So Mikey lost his mind. We're gonna be at the Barclays. So if you guys are in the area, shout us out. We'll be there on the floor, section F, I believe. I don't know what row it is. I didn't get tickets yet, but they're hard tickets and not like printouts and shit. They're like holograms apparently.
Ooh.
So I get those. I'm excited. So I'm going to NXT and Raw the same week. I think the trip to Philly I'm more excited about than NXT because it's Philly, and Philly's a fun town, and the food is fantastic. And I'm not gonna have a kid that day, so we can all fucking be jerk offs and have fun. The convention's
going. That's gonna happen whether Mikey's there.
Mikey's
or not.
There or not? Yeah. The convention's going on that day, too, at the ECW Arena. I just found out it's $225 for the photo ops combined with the Horsemen. I was like, all right, because we were going to go there. We would try to go there. There's a couple things I want to do. I want to go get cheesesteaks. Chobby's never had a cheesesteak.
Never, ever had a cheesesteak.
Not from Philly.
Okay.
Cheesesteaks in here.
Neither have I, so.
So you guys are in for a treat, especially with the place that we want to go to. You know. We go see the Rocky statue. We'll take stupid pictures. We'll bug out. Philly's a very fun town. But I'm really excited for that because we're going to have the crew together again. And then it's the Rumble. So,
yeah.
you know, we'll all hook up for the Rumble again and start the whole process over again, you know? But it's going to be a fun time, man.
Where it all begins again.
Man, what begins again? I was watching 93 today. Yokozuna wins that. We all know that.
Yeah.
The best part, the line of the night, though, is Gorilla Monsoon. Here comes Carlos Colon, the Caribbean champion. That youngster's got a lot of fire. 45 years old. Legit, he was 45. 2 years older than Bob Backlund at that time.
Wow.
At that time. Yeah, so you know, it's been a, it's going to be a fun couple of months, man. We got, you know, the Rumble, then we do Mania, and all the stuff on the rant. I don't know if we're doing, are you going to do Black Achiever this year, or did you talk
Double
A?
Yeah, we'll do it.
So we'll do that. I'm sure Double A will do all that with you, you and Tony C. will.
Especially since last year sucked without me, so.
It did suck without you. I'll probably do Red Carpet again.
Black Carpet,
you know what I meant. Yeah. So we'll do that. There's a lot of stuff going on. Thank you so much for all the awesome swag.
No problem.
It's fun. It's really cool shit. Mikey's gonna lose his mind. I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him. Can't wait to give Choppy his cologne.
I just like saw that in the store. I was like at the New Japan store. I'm like, fucking cologne, really?
That's dope.
And it was on sale, so I was like, all right, I'll get it.
That's awesome.
Somebody's getting cologne.
Choppy would love that. Yeah, just the fact that it's from there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a keepsake.
Hopefully it's not perfume, so.
Maybe he'll wear it once in a while, you know, just to fuck with us, you know? Anything else in the trip that was significant? Anything that you didn't do the last time you were there? Or I know you hooked up with your people. I know Rob was there, which is pretty cool to have Rob there with you. And your boy Mike was there with you.
Yeah.
So, and you know, anything that you did that you wanted to do that you didn't do? How about that?
The only thing that I didn't do was more wrestling. So,
You did a ton of wrestling.
Yeah.
You did a ton of wrestling.
Yeah. Actually, I guess just like a quick note, like my favorite match of the entire trip was on the 6th for Sendai Girls. It was Meiko Satomura against Hamada in a number one contenders match for the Sendai Girls title.
Okay.
And these ladies tore it up.
Nice.
It was the match of the trip. They beat the holy hell out of each other. They even got to a point where they're trading finishers until like somebody drops. And finally Hamada got the win on Meiko Satomura. I was like,
wow.
Holy shit, this match was insane. Some other crazy stuff. Technically second to last wave show, they had a dangerous wave match, which was a hardcore match, and one chick did a flipping senton off a ladder and potentially broke her neck. All I know is, like, I just saw the drop, and the referee, like, immediately checked in and just rang the bell, no contest, and they had no medical staff. They had, like one of those, like, old-school, like gurneys.
Oh, my God.
And they wrapped a warm towel around her neck. I'm like, wow.
No stabilization or nothing?
No, you know, I was talking to one of the guys, and they were like, probably because it's really fucking expensive to have medical staff over there.
Over here, you have to have it now, you know, it's...
Yeah, apparently over there you don't, so...
That's crazy.
So, I was like, Phil would lose his gasket. He would run into that ring and
stabilize the patient, of course. Yeah, he'd
probably have a friggin' neck brace on you.
Yeah, put a neck brace on my backpack, you know? So, neck collar.
I was just kind of like, Phil is, if he's asleep right now in Staten Island, he must be like rolling around, not even knowing what the hell's going on, having nightmares about something.
I think if my dream job would be like a medical staff of like a sports venues and shit like that, just or like a safety officer or something, just to make sure a guy's doing his shit right.
Yeah,
if there is any kind of a position, but it's important because those injuries occur more with contact sports, obviously, than fucking most sports. But like the head and neck stuff, man, you can't mess with that stuff, man. Serious, you know.
And God knows, like, you know, we don't know if this person's like neck was broken or something like that. It's just kind of like when you see this kind of like a fall, it's kind of like, you know, something went down.
Yeah.
So they immediately got her ass out of there. So it was pretty crazy. And she's, her name is Tane Takashi, and she runs a promotion called Seedling.
Seedling.
Yeah, S-E-A caps, lowercase d, L, LNNNG, all in caps too.
Okay.
And you would love the catchphrase for that promotion. Let's get some D.
Nice.
The Lord knows what their idea of getting some D means.
Well,
I'm sure some of them are a bunch of lesbians.
On,
anyway,
on that note, let's wrap this bad boy up. Yeah. So, dude, we're glad you're back. I know you don't want to be back, but we're glad you're back. Maybe one day we'll make that trip. You know, we've been talking about it, and you know, I got to do it once in my lifetime. Yeah. You know, I have to. You know, so all right. What's so nothing else? Nothing else standing out?
You know, went through an earthquake while I was there.
Yeah,
you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of, you know, it was all for wrestling. Sorry, there's no girlfriend experiences going on.
Yeah, we were hoping you got, me and Tony were hoping that you got like an escort or something. I mean, just because. I mean, you know, just for, you know.
I'm but, good. I'm right. good.
I know you're good. I'm just, you know, looking out for you.
So. I remember a story. You know, we're both fans of Rancid.
Yes.
And I remember the guitarist, Lars, was over there for, I don't know, like a tour or something like that. And I remember reading some interview that I think he either got like an escort or went to one of these hotels or something. And this chick is giving him a blowjob and no teeth.
Nice.
She has no fucking teeth.
that's not uncommon here either. No. Speaking of Rancid, not wrestling related, but Tim Armstrong is just got done producing the new Madball album.
Oh, nice.
So, for the cause, and Hoy just posted the video, him and Freddie did just finish the touches on it.
Nice.
They lost their guitar player during the process. Mitts quit. So, I know Matt Henderson jumped in. I know people are like, who the hell are these people? Who cares? But Rancid is producing the new Madball record, which is really fucking cool. I'm really excited about it. You know, Madball is my favorite hardcore band, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. Let's do some plugs and
all that. Gotta watch this Clash DVD.
Yeah.
You
do. All right, so listen, Choppy will be back next week. We got a really cool throwback for you. And if Choppy was here, Dave would have did it with us. It's only one match, so we'll do it next week.
From the Power Hour.
From the Power Hour, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so anyway, we're back next week. And I want you guys all to check out the Midnight Jury tomorrow night. Sunday is Surfer's comic book show. Monday is the sports report with William Morgan. Tuesday, you get a double shot of the Shining Wizards and the rant. Hopefully, Double A doesn't break anything this time.
Let's hope. Let's hope that he turns the on button on. So.
Congratulations on his engagement, by the way.
Yeah, congrats.
There's talks of a stag party live on the rant when that happens.
Stag party?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that.
We're
going
to be getting some ghetto Oolong Island ice cream going.
Yeah. So we're going. So yeah, go to turnbuckle-throwbacks.com. Get all our friends' content there. Go to rantdmradio.com, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. You guys all know the drill. Dave, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no
for
problem.
For hanging out. Thank you so much for the swag. The kid didn't lose his mind. I love my program. I didn't read it yet, and I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I love when kids lose their minds. So.
He's super appreciative too.
Yeah. He's a good kid.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, you're raising him right.
I'm trying to, man. It's hard. It is. It's hard. Yeah. It's a process.
And he wants to be a good kid, which is rare.
Right. Yes, he does. And he does. He always wants to do the right thing, and that's why I think he.
That's a very rare.
Yeah, it's
look at some of the goons that are in the like this moron. Nick German, give me a fucking break. I can't wait till that's over with at TakeOver. I don't want to see that guy.
All right. So on behalf of...
Fucking corrupt cop.
Thank you for everybody in the chat room. Thanks for Mega Pals hanging out with us tonight. Choppy, get well. We'll see you next week. And, of course, as always, take care of yourself, each other. Avoid the cloud. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word, the R-word. And be kind to animals. Be a good
at least not on videotape when you're screwing your best friend's wife.
This is true, Hulk Hogan. But,
we're coming for you.
Where's my fucking soundboard? I gotta do it now. Where is it? There it is.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga!
Just like old times, Dave.
Yep.
Just like old times. Guys, really, have a great rest of your week. Stay gold. And we're back, same bad time, same bad channel. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.